Hello and welcome to our program. Today we're in our second broadcast in the book of 2 Peter. Have your Bible ready. Reading in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, and it says, "Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity," or love. And then he goes on to say, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Now it says he's forgotten that he was purged. So it's talking about someone who is a believer, and it says he lacks these things. If we're going to have these things that it talks about in this book, then we're going to have to get them. And we have seen that he's talking about faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Now, when we're talking about faith, we're talking about salvation, not only saving faith, but sustaining faith. And then there's virtue. We talk about standards. Knowledge refers to studying to show ourselves approved unto God. Workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Temperance speaks of self-control. Patience speaks of suffering. Godliness, sanctification, or being set aside, set apart for God. Brotherly kindness refers to service. And charity here refers to sacrifice. Now, in verse 5, as we saw in our last broadcast, it says that we are to be giving all diligence. That word has been translated haste, earnest care, and carefulness. It's something very important. But he says you got to give all diligence to add these things. And then verse 9, as we said, he says here, "He that lacketh these things is blind," that means he can't see too far, "and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." To forget is simply to put out of one's mind, to cease to think about something or to be considering something, and that is the way the average professed Christian lives from day to day. The Bible says meditate on these things. Most Christians haven't got any time to meditate on the things of the Lord. So first of all, he's talking about faith and saving faith first. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith," that's talking about Bible doctrine, "and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so it has to do with the doctrine, it has to do with preaching the word of God. Jesus gave a story in Luke chapter 8, where he talks about the seed being sown, and then he said, "Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved." The only way we're going to be saved is when the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit as we're in the Word of God that we need to do what the Bible says to do. Now, it also says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." It says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Then again in Ephesians 1:13, it says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth," that's talking about the Bible, "the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." And so there is a saving faith that the Bible talks about, doctrine that has to do with being saved, but there's also a faith that talks about being sustained in the gospel. Sustained means to cause to continue or for an extended period without interruption. Now, looking at the subject of salvation, it's necessary to understand that the Bible presents that subject in three tenses: past tense, present tense, and future tense. Now, in the past tense, it says in Luke 7 and verse 15, "Thy faith has saved thee." In Ephesians 2 and 8, it says, "For by grace are ye saved." Notice that's past tense. 2 Timothy 1, 9 says, referring to the Lord who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. That is past tense. John 5 and 24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And so when we're talking about the past tense of salvation, it's talking about the fact that we are saved from the penalty of sin. There is there now no condemnation. He said in John 6 and 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has everlasting life." Saved from the penalty of sin, which is everlasting death in hell. He put it this way in 1 John 5 and 13, "And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life." That's saved from the penalty of sin. John 5 and 24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." We are saved from the penalty of sin. But then salvation is also in the scriptures in the present tense, and that is talking about us being saved from the power of sin. Romans 6 and 6 says, "Knowing this, that henceforth we should not serve sin." He says in Romans 6 and verse number 14, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." Now, what he gives here, like 1 Peter, or 2 Peter rather, we have all of these things that we need to add. In Romans chapter 6, he said, if you do these things, then sin shall not have dominion over you. That is, we are being saved from the power of sin, if we want to take advantage of what God has given us in order to be saved from the power of sin in our lives. The next tense, of course, is future tense. Past tense, we're saved from the penalty of sin. Present tense, we're being saved from the power of sin. And then future tense, someday we shall be saved from the presence of sin. And that says in Romans 5 and verse number 9, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved, future tense, saved from the presence of sin altogether. John, 1 John 3 and 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall be saved from the presence of sin." So understanding salvation. But then he says, to your salvation, to your faith, we need to add virtue. Virtue. Now, in 1 Peter 1 and 3, it says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue." And then in verse 5, he said, "And beside this, adding all diligence, add to your faith virtue." Add virtue. Now, notice he says in 2 Peter 1 and 3, the things that pertain or are related unto life and godliness. Now, what it's saying is here is that we need to have these things that will relate in our lives, how we live our lives, in respect of God, in respect of what God expects from us. He put it this way in Ephesians 4 and verse number 1. Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith you're called." And we are called to walk worthy. That is a calling that we have. So he's saying here in 2 Peter 1 and 3, these things that pertain or related to life and godliness are written here in this chapter. And then you notice he says, "unto glory," Jude 1, 25 says, "to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory." The Bible says, "Whatsoever things ye do, do all to the glory of God." Do all to the glory of God. Well, then he says here, add virtue. Now, virtue is being concerned with the principles of right and wrong behavior. It's simply, that's what it is. Then he says, through the knowledge of Christ, or that word has been translated acknowledging three times. And so it says you're going to do this through the acknowledging of Christ. I'm going to go to the Lord and say, how do you want me to do this? How do you want me to live this portion of my life? So you notice it says here, beside this. It doesn't say besides with an S on it, but it says right alongside this. Alongside what? Well, the things he's just mentioned, the things that pertain to life and godliness, the calling to which we have been called, that we are to do all things to the glory of God, that we are to be acknowledging the Lord in our decisions, and we are to give all diligence to do this. Now we're ready to get started on this list. He says, with that, beside that, add to your faith virtue. Virtue. Now, simply put, virtue is the principles that I develop that will determine what I believe, which in turn will determine my behavior. So I'm going to develop my principles of life. I have no choice but to choose. Will I develop those principles from the Word of God? Yes or no? I have no choice but to choose. So I have to, first of all, then determine if I want God's standards or if I do not. It's so simple. I have no choice but to choose. God says, I've given you the Word. Here it is. And I need to determine if I want God's standards or not. Now, so do you. You're going to determine that. Now, if the answer is no, no, I don't want God's standards, my advice to you is turn this broadcast off and go do what you want to do, because the rest of it is of no interest to you. But if you say, yes, I determine in my life, I want to determine what God wants me to do. I want God's standards for my life. Okay, then if we're going to do that, if your answer is yes, the first thing we need to do is determine what area you're going to work on first. There's so many areas here when it comes to our standards. And so it's a standard of music, there's a dress standards, there's a standard of separation in life, there's all kinds of standards and Bible principles here that we could live by. Now, you know, the Bible is full of principles. It's full of principles. Even if the unsaved people in our world would just take the Bible principles, just the principles that are in the Bible, even if they didn't want to get saved, if they just lived by the Bible principles, there'd be no more wars. We would have no need of police departments and armies and millions and millions and millions of dollars being spent on defense. All we have to do is follow the principles that are in the Bible. Well, man decided they didn't want to do that. They started right from the beginning. No, we don't want that Bible dictating to us. Jesus came and they said, well, we'll not have this man reigning over us. Crucify him. And man's not interested in that. Well, what this portion of Scripture is talking to is the Christian, and God is saying to those of us who are Christians, do you want these principles in your life? And we have to make the same decision as a Christian. Yes, yes, I want the principles of God in my life. Or no, I want to live like those saints at Corinth, where they're so filled up with immorality and all the rest. It's simply a choice that we have to make. Now, the Bible says that we need to develop our standards. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by his faith, by what he believes. Of course, then these principles of the Word of God are going to dictate my behavior. Well, the next thing we have here is understanding, studying. He says in 2 Peter 1:5, and beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. Now, the only way you're going to get knowledge is by studying the Word of God. Now, unfortunately, it says in Jeremiah 4:22, for my people are foolish, they have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. That's what he had to say about his people in the Old Testament, referring to the Jews who wouldn't listen to him. Israel said, no, we want to go our own way. Well, these things are written for our admonition. Let's be admonished. They're not just written here as a history lesson. He says, this is what they did, and they did it wrong. Don't do it wrong. Well, we're out of time. We'll have to continue here tomorrow. Be sure and tune in for our broadcast.